Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Today on Mythic Physique, Quest for the Golden Fleece, I am proud to bring you Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts by a fellow Argonaut, Michael Del Russi. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm very excited by the show you put together today.
Well, there's been so much negativity that we've been facing, as you know.
Yes.
There's so many challenges. And it's a frightening time, to be sure. And we've lived through some very chaotic decades in our own lives. But in many ways, this is an unprecedented time, at least from my perspective. And my spirit was very much impressed this evening to share what the sword and sandal era has done for my life. I believe that seeking the classical ideal as far as the physique is concerned, regardless of what any individual may be involved in, is something that is always an eye-opener. To marvel at that classical ideal, the Greek ideal specifically, and what the physique meant in terms of the mythology and in terms of the culture. And I think it was a vehicle for me that got me through many difficult and tumultuous times in my life. And so I thought it would benefit the listeners this evening if I could reaffirm and share my testimony in terms of what these films and this culture did for me to get me through the hard times of my life. And I'd like to at least open up the program with that testimony if I can.
Oh, of course. And you know we're on the same page with that. I can say the same about my journey. And so, yes, I'd love to hear your tale.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to share some reflections as the decades of the 60s rolled on. The sword and sandal era was in full stride, and golden age bodybuilding, while still considered an underground activity, unfortunately, was beginning to make some noise. For me, herein existed my salvation. In this challenging time that we live in, I'd like to reaffirm my testimony as to what this these films and this culture had done for me growing up. How does one attempt to comprehend the value of something that was so largely responsible for nurturing anything good and creative and spiritual as supporting my life, as the films depicting the Greek and Roman physiques and heroes and warriors of my youth? Going to junior high and high school was not a happy experience for me. Moving from my hometown of Newark to Irvington, New Jersey, I was constantly harassed, beaten, robbed of my lunch money, what little money I had, on a regular basis. It was during these years that the heroes of Greece and the gladiators of Rome, coming through an old black and white RCA television, slowly produced within me the self-esteem and confidence I needed to literally survive. At this point, I made acquaintance with two big guys who also had an interest in sword and sandal epics. They also dabbled in weight training, as I began to do so as well. Along with my brother and my two friends, we would sit on the stoop at night and talk about the heroes in these films. Steve Reeves, Mark Forrest, Brad Harris, Reg Park, Alan Steele, Dan Vadas, Gordon Scott, and Gordon Mitchell. We would compare physiques as well as their films while marveling at their exploits. We also began to take bodybuilding more seriously. And at the same time, the Sons of Hercules TV series suddenly appeared on a weekly basis on WOR TV Channel 9 here on the East Coast. Every Saturday night, all those feelings of rejection, anger, fear, and bitterness were defeated by these mighty Olympians. Every month, all of us would hurry down to the magazine store to grab our copies of Mr. America and Muscle Builder. We knew we were on the fringe, if you will, and enamored by an art form and physical activity most of the guys in school knew nothing about, and in fact, were discouraged to participate in. We did not care. While being small in structure, I began to build hard muscle while still remaining thin and wiry. I also began to fight back in school and became noticed. Some of the same guys who beat and robbed me of my lunch money were now boasting about my performance on the Marine test that they had every year at the school. Pride and that hero within began to emerge. From then on, through marriage, divorce, joblessness, a rheumatic heart condition which I overcame, the influence of those magical Greek tales, gods and heroes, remained with me, even as an adult and in my darkest hours. Coming from a traditional Catholic family, I was raised with good morals, communion, confirmation, and church every Sunday. But that's not what sustained me. It was the wonder of those Greek tales and heroes, their bravery, strength, breathtaking exploits, along with those magnificent physique stars that gave me the courage and a panoramic vision to face the uncertain and sometimes turbulent decades of my life. I say thank you to each and every one of those heroes, wherever you may be. And that's my story. And
wow.
I wanted to share that. I feel somewhere out there tonight, regardless of age, regardless of circumstances, somebody need to hear that story today, this evening, and understand that within the content of these films and these myths, there is strength, there is integrity, there is inner consistency in terms of facing whatever obstacle they may face. And that's why I wanted to share a story tonight. And that's what got me through my youth. And that, quite frankly, was helped me through my adult years. Those heroes and those films have never left me.
Thank you for sharing your tale. It's very powerful, and I can certainly resonate with it on a lot of different levels. And you're still very active in your honoring of these ancient times and these ancient heroes through your posts on Facebook.
Yes, I decided to create a mythical figure of my own as a vehicle, if you will. A shadow self, you might say, and
uh-huh.
Dark Cobra holistic training systems. And what I'm hoping to share in the immediate future is what I've learned over the last four decades of training. And there's so much to learn in terms of the various methods and styles and sciences of building muscle and maintaining muscle. And I'm hoping to share much of what I learned. Dark Cobra, basically, the meaning behind that is my shadow self. By that I mean it's not me that's important. I'm just a shadow. And the Dark Cobra moniker, if you will, just came to mind. What is most important is being able to share what I've learned and am continuing to learn and use it as a bodybuilding ministry, if you will, to open up the pathway to others and their knowledge. So the Dark Cobra is simply a shadow self, and it's hopefully a positive vehicle to share and gain wisdom at the same time for what others have to share with me. So I'm hoping to move forward with that in the very near future.
Would you like to rename the show Dark Cobra?
Well, we could do that, but this is fine. This is more or less an outgrowth of Bold Spirit's holistic concepts. You might say it's an extension of what we do. And I decided the time is right to share some bodybuilding knowledge and
awesome.
To receive some bodybuilding knowledge as well and create a vehicle, if you will.
That is fantastic. I'll do everything I can to promote it. I'm behind you 100%. That is awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm hoping that the strength that someone's out there somewhere in the audience will find strength in what I shared with them tonight, because those heroes, the decade of the 60s, and we know prior to the 60s, of course, the sword and sandal films were still prevalent. But I think the decade of the 60s, and the funny thing is, during that same decade, bodybuilding began to grow. It was still a subculture, make no mistake about it, but it began to get noticed, and the heroes in bodybuilding began to get noticed, paralleling, if you will. It was a direct parallel between how bodybuilding was growing and how the sword and sandal epics were continuing to gain a hold in terms of popularity, especially with the American viewing public. So I think the 60s, both genres, if you will, began to grow and slowly take hold of the American consciousness, and rightfully so. And even till today, I was just watching Generation Iron. There's a gentleman on there by the name of Jim Stepani. He has a master's degree in physiology and sports medicine, and he's been involved in weight training for years. And he was saying that while he was going to school, and now this was the early 80s, he said even then, and we know how popular bodybuilding began to grow and take hold with our youth in the 80s. He said, but even with that, in the early 80s, he was running across coaches and athletic trainers who were still advising, don't touch the weights. They'll make you tight. They'll make you muscle bound. They'll interfere with your reflexes. It's not something you want to do. And he said, he was just talking about this tonight, in fact, and he was saying how surprised he was that even in the 80s, the beginning of the 80s, still this bias, if you will, this opposition to training with weights, and they still didn't recognize all of the benefits that can come with weight resistance training. So I was surprised myself to hear that story. But he said that's what he encountered during his educational experiences in college and going for his master's degree in sports medicine.
Yeah, for the longest time, I remember, too, when I was growing up and a couple of times after injuries, being told to lay off the weights and not to do any exercises, and how different it is now in physical therapy. I just recently finished several weeks of physical therapy, and now it's push yourself, do everything you can to confront it. And I prefer that. Yeah, I really don't like sitting around doing nothing. But it took years for that type of advice to be given.
No question about it. I remember when I was going to Irvington High School, I remember that our coach, our gym teacher, saying very specifically, don't touch the weights. They'll only make you muscle bound. I could still remember that quote. And going back quite a few years later, I'm saying to myself, well, I've seen my body change through weight training, but I'm not muscle bound. I wish I was. So,
yeah,
you know,
they make it sound so simple. Like, if you don't watch out, you're going to get big muscles. No, it's years of hard work. And even then, if you know, you're not genetically predisposed, you're not going to look like what your heroes look like in the magazine. So that's always really amazed me, too.
And we realize now, and you said it so correctly, it takes years of hard work in the gym to even begin to duplicate our heroes, the images that we've seen in the sword and sandal epics and the classical physiques that we've so much admired and try to emulate, if you will. It takes years of hard work in the gym and trial and error. And I think a genetic predisposition is also very important. I don't think that's talked about enough. And hopefully we can touch upon that in the near future when we discuss sculpting and developing the kind of bodies, that the visions that we hold to. Because I think the genetics are more important, much more important than have been discussed. And while it's true, you know, you'll get many motivational teachers and weight trainers out there telling us the sky is the limit and train heavy and do this and do that. But we know, I think after so many years of training, we know that genetics do play a factor. And I think we have to play, it's important to play up to our genetics. I think we have to realize what we can truly accomplish from a logical standpoint, from a logical mind, because while old school training, yes, the old school training was magnificent. Great bodies were built out of that certain function, the compound movements. We also know that many serious injuries were incurred.
Yeah.
So while old school is great, training heavy, and they always talk about heavy is the way to go, there are many injuries that have been sometimes it's taken years to overcome training that way. So I think it's important to train up to the level of your genetics and realize what they are.
And as you pointed out, there were a lot of injuries, and it's important to know about that as well. Just like now, a lot of information about Hollywood is coming out about how they kind of almost use tricks to make people look that muscular when they're filming. They know the body well enough, certain sports physiologists, where, you know, with a few days exercise, they can make it appear as if, you know, muscles are there all the time and much bigger, when actually it's just the prep for those particular shots, which are mapped out ahead of time. And also a lot of information has come out about how lighting and applying oil and things like that can make you look a lot more muscular than you might appear if you didn't have that lighting or that oil on your body. So yes, it's reality, but yes, it's also an illusion. And if you know that, you don't beat yourself up if you don't look like the models on the cover of a magazine.
Absolutely right, and you're correct. There are many techniques that can be used, especially in the cosmetology field, and we know that. I do find it interesting, and as I look at some of the golden agers, which I'll be mentioning in a moment, while most of them had abs, you look at some of these actors today, and it looks like they just put on their abs. They just, mm-hmm. because the abs are so defined and so crisp, and the separation is so remarkable. And yet you look at guys from 40 years ago who are training 6-7 days a week, and they have abs, but nowhere near what some of these actors today have.
Right.
it's a bit unrealistic. It's a bit unrealistic. And we know now that there are certain cosmetic creams and what have. There's a firming and defining lotions out there that contain green tea, amongst other things, and L-carnitine, and yohimbe as an example, and caffeine, and even witch hazel. There are certain creams, and you can get them on the internet too, that tend to thin the skin and create heat in whatever area you're applying these creams and lotions, and they can also help to especially if you have to work fast and you want that look. If you're applying them consistently and abundantly, you can get those abs to stand out, in a much more defined way, as opposed to, well, we didn't have these options in our private lives, and Lord knows the champions didn't really have them back 30 years ago. They didn't know about these secrets, but there's many creams on the market today with all of the ingredients that I just mentioned. That even can help to reduce the appearance of cellulite. These products can do it. And along with witch hazel itself, witch hazel can tighten the skin and help to define the muscles. So there's certain tricks. And then, of course, in cosmetology, they know things that we'll probably never know in Hollywood
right.
cosmetics in terms of. So, but I do find it interesting that you look at some of these actors, and my God, they have abs that I don't see it. In the boxing arena, in the martial arts arena, or in the bodybuilding arena. And you wonder, how did that happen so fast?
Right.
So I agree with you. You know, the secrets are there. The secrets are there.
The secrets are there if you discover them. And sometimes the secrets are dangerous. Like I firmly believe that I gave myself diabetes by forcing myself to follow pre-steroid bodybuilding diets because I studied a lot, and back then they were recommending drinking a gallon of milk a day, whole milk, and also eating a lot of oranges. So
mm-hmm.
that didn't seem unreasonable, but I knew a lot less about the body then than I do now. And so even though I had a lactose intolerance, it took me a year and a half to build up to drinking a gallon of milk a day. eating so many oranges. And I looked great for a while, and I looked better than I've looked in a very long time since my youth. And I was handling like phenomenally heavy poundages on my leg press machine, even with one leg, and everything was great until the day my body crashed. And only later, when I started falling downstairs, did I go to the doctor and discover that I had diabetes, which is a blood sugar problem. And I looked at the amount of sugar in milk and the sugar in oranges. And I've been subjecting my body to a gallon a day of the milk plus six big navel oranges. So no wonder I was putting all the sugar in my body. With the best of intentions, and to the best of the wisdom of the pre-steroid bodybuilders, but still, it proved that it wasn't right. It wasn't the right thing to do, and so there too, when you follow even old school advice, be careful sometimes.
Absolutely, I mean, and there were getting back to that, following that line of thinking. I know that Vince Gironda, as an example,
yes.
And Larry Scott, the first. Vince Gironda promoted very much believed in the type of diet you're describing, and even more intense than that. And our next get together, I intend to share some of what he recommended to put on pounds of muscle. And in examining his protocol, the only thing I would recommend is make sure you keep your cardiologist on call. What they recommended to me would be extremely dangerous at any age. It would be extremely dangerous. But the heavy cream and protein powder was very big at certain points during the 60s. And many of the champions followed that diet. And you're right. Many of them, they gained size and they gained power. You know, there's no question of size and power. But later on, almost all of them, and developed a heart disease of some type, dementia, and I believe a diet high in saturated fat can contribute to dementia because obviously you're clogging up your entire circulatory system. That fat has no, when to consume that much fat, it has no place to go. There's only so much fat, saturated fat, your body can hold on to. So I think it was a dangerous fad, yes. As far as growing, I'm sure many observers were in awe when they looked at the champions and how big they were. But then, as you recall also, the pattern was then they had to cut down drastically. They had to cut, and they had to cut quickly in order to reach their competition goals. So we know now that really wasn't a healthy thing to do, especially if you're competing in a visual sport like bodybuilding. It wasn't a very safe way to move forward. Now we know that you should really try to stay in shape pretty much throughout the year, give or take a few pounds. But they didn't know that then. Rio Blair, the name just came to me. He passed away. Rio Blair, in fact, he had his own line of protein, cream and egg supplements that he was putting forward. And they all used them. But he was the pioneer. Rio Blair was the pioneer of the heavy cream and protein diet. Mm-hmm. And most of the champions were on it. But in later years, most of the champions developed cardiovascular issues, diabetic issues. So it was good for size and it was good for power. But it's not something I think is recommended today. I think that's fortunate aspect of it, because it did more harm than good in the long term. And you could see, of course, that who was thinking about that back then? Bodybuilding was still new. It was in its infancy. And these gentlemen just wanted to bring home the big titles. So, no one's to blame, of course, but it was a fad.
Right.
You know, it was a fad, and it had its benefits in terms of size and power, in terms of health. That may have very well been another story.
Yeah, it did deliver. I must say that it did deliver. It delivered in a very impressive way, and again, both in terms of mass and in terms of strength, until the day it crashed, and then I started crashing. Yes, it did work on the short term, and I guess if I didn't have a lactose intolerance, I might have gone for years doing it and maybe sustained some problems later on. But I actually pushed myself through the lactose intolerance so I can handle the milk. And maybe that saved me in the end.
Now, when you were training during those years, were you testing yourself in terms of power and poundage, as most of us, I guess, did in the early days? Were you pushing yourself in those areas? Were you challenging yourself in terms of your training?
Even now, where my goals are not as lofty in terms of the poundages I'm lifting, I still push myself all the time. Like right now, I'm doing pyramid sets again, but I scrambled around how I did them. I'm doing like a three-day routine followed by a four-day routine every week, and so it's a continuous process where I fit an entire workout in 3 days, and then I fit the same workout into 4 days, and on the 4 days, I'm able to do more, sets, of each exercise and give the body a little bit more time to rest. With the pyramids, I'm building up like to 12 reps until I can't do 12 reps. So I do as many as I can do with the heavy weight, and then I go back down again. So I've been doing that. I incorporated the X3 into it. Physical therapy taught me the virtue of lighter bands in exercising. And I've gotten some of the equipment I used in physical therapy for balance, and now I do those every day. Initially, they were very difficult. Now I find them easy. But I remember what it's like to have balance problems not too long ago. So I want to make sure that never happens again. So I test myself every day. But I'm no longer looking at how much weight can I lift. You know, now I'm looking at other things like endurance and balance and so forth.
And that's to your benefit, to be sure. What the bands, have you found? I ordered some bands, I think it was last year. I forget what company I ordered them from. And I had never really worked with bands before, but they sent me a variety of bands with a variety of strengths. And I was surprised to discover that you can get a pretty good pump with some of these bands. Have you discovered that as well?
Yes, I've discovered over the years too. Like for instance, there was a time when I did not have access to barbells, dumbbells. I believe I lived in a small studio apartment, so I had a couple of weights, but I didn't really have a lot. But I did a lot of Charles Atlas and isometrics and isotonics and things like that. And I discovered that even though it wasn't as good as using weights, you could actually use your imagination to imagine resistance and then push it, use your memory. And again, it wasn't as good as using actual weights, but I was able to get musculature just by using my mind. Now I know that anything I have, I'll weave it into a workout because I know what my muscles are supposed to feel like when they're pumped or when I've had a good workout. So I'll find a way to make it work. Sometimes the movements, like the lighter bands, I find because of the way that they're constructed, and they use a different brand of physical therapy, which made it easier to use them. I can't do every exercise, so I need to either improvise or just skip that with the bands and do it with like the X3, which allows for more variety in what I do.
Now, have you found that with the bands, I don't know how long you've been using them. I know you were using the X3 for a while. I have come to find I've been using the Bullworker for the past year, and I have a couple of Bullworks at different strengths. And I've noticed that I seem to develop more in terms of styrations and a little bit more separation here and there, especially in the chest and around the anterior deltoids. Have you noticed any difference in terms of your muscularity in certain areas? Have you noticed that, or has it pretty much remained the same?
No, I notice changes in muscularity whenever I change the workout, and then I remember what produced results, and I try to duplicate it. We're supposed to have the guys from the Bullworker company on a couple of times over the past couple of years, but something always came up. So eventually they'll be back on the show. And I have good memories of using the Bull Worker when I was young and it first came out. I remember I was a big fan of the Bull Worker. And I will get into the Bull Worker again at some point. Right now I'm happy with the X3 because I've learned how to integrate my own variation. So I'm not just stuck with the same 8 exercises. I can now do a wide range of exercises with the X3. And there too, I found that sometimes it's better to use the lighter bands rather than to do less with the heavier bands, to do more with the lighter bands. And I get better results doing that.
Well, I've been nursing an injury for 11 years, which I didn't incur in the gym. I incurred it in an accident, unfortunately. That had nothing at all to do with weight training. And I've been nursing a left arm injury for actually 11 years. Physical therapy never helped me. And I can, as we speak, I'm just living with it. Some days it's not as bad as others. I did have to run to the emergency room a couple of times a few years ago because the nerve pain was so severe and nothing was helping me. But I was determined not to give up on weights. I mean, without weights, there would be, frankly, without weight training, there would be no life for me. Because I just love it. And like you, I've grown up with it. And so I train now, but I noticed something interesting with lightweights, and it's fascinating. I was nursing the arm this week, and I worked out tonight. I did shoulders with 12-pound dumbbells. And I want to tell you something. The pump was so great, and I just felt like I was accomplishing something. The veins were popping slightly, and I said to myself, you know what? This is progress. This is progress. It doesn't have to be heavy weights for 6 reps. I'm convinced in reading some recent studies as well that light weights, you can also build size. You can build muscle as well as the muscular separation. Of course, they didn't really believe that back in the golden age and even beyond the golden age. You know, you had to use moderate to heavy weights for at least 6 reps. But if you really think about it, and again, these are just my reflections, 6 reps is just getting you to the doorway, if you think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, notwithstanding how much weight you're using, I think when it comes to getting a pump, it's just getting you to the doorway. So I think for most sets, I'm learning that notwithstanding how much weight you're using, and you know you're going to pyramid at times, but I really believe that 12 to 15 reps is really getting you into that progressive territory that you want to be. So I know, like I heard Lee Haney, a former Mr. Olympia, said he did most of his exercises with 6 reps, and who am I to question Mr. Olympia? But it's hard for me to fathom how you can really build the kind of muscularity and muscular separation that you're seeking at some point in your life with just 6 reps. So I'm learning at this late stage of my life that lightweights can have benefits in multiple areas when it comes to seeking that classical Greek look that we're all pursuing, those of us who love it so much and realize how impressive that look truly is. So I'm finding more every day that lightweights give me a fantastic pump and a great acceleration in terms of overall fitness. And by no means am I saying you shouldn't go to moderate at times. You know, I'm not saying that. But I think high reps should be the order of the day in most of our training. At least that's what I'm discovering at this point. I think that the pump, and Frank Zane said this, and I couldn't agree with him more, you have to go for the pump. Getting that blood into that area achieves everything. And I know that's what he believed in. I'll be sharing his training method soon. And I pretty much believe in that. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. I've had shows in the past, and I'm going to have shows in the future with folks like from the Steve Reeves International and also from like Bill Hinburn. He has a monthly show. He's from Super Strength Training that keeps a lot of these old systems alive and available to folks, you know, where they might have managed. Otherwise, would you like to be included in those conversations?
I would love to. I would love to hear the wisdom of others and share some of my own experience if I can. I would definitely love to be involved in that if I can.
That would be awesome. And I've started, I'm doing a fourth Mythic Physique show. And this one isn't going to be steady, with the same companions. It's going to just introduce some new people, new elements into the show. This will be authors of different books and so forth. So I'll be starting those off, but then later on I'll be opening up to all the other Mythic Physique hosts. Yourself, Ryan Foley, and Bill Hinburn, if they want to interview the people, either in conjunction with each other or separately, you know, it doesn't really matter. We'll get the information, and that's the important thing. So would you like to be included in that adventure as well?
I certainly would, and I consider it an honor to be involved with the these gentlemen who have such experience in that, those areas, yes, definitely.
Okay, great. I'm designing next year's adventures as we speak. So I'll contact you about that. I'll give you a call and we could take that from there. And I'm glad you brought up Frank Zane. Frank Zane, to the best of my knowledge, was not in any Peplum films, but he dominated the bodybuilding scene during the Arnold era. He had a very distinct musculature that he attained in a non-standard way.
Absolutely, and I'd like to share some of his concepts quickly.
Sure.
He was three-time Mr. Olympia, as we know, and during a time when size was obviously the dominant goal for most pros at that time, he introduced a symmetrical, defined look in a way, in the same way that Steve Davis, I don't know if you remember Steve Davis, he had a similar Frank Zane look. He started something called the New Breed with another bodybuilder by the name of Harvey Keith. I don't know if you remember them. He's still around. You can find him on the internet. And they also believed in the Frank Zane look, but he was known for his lighter symmetrical physique. And his concepts, I very much can identify with. He was small boned, or he was always lighter than most of his competitors because genetics were a factor, and he knew that. And he trained according to his genetics, he said, try to train according to your potential. Be realistic to avoid injury. And he did suffer. Nonetheless, he suffered some serious injuries himself. He also said, try not to get too far out of shape. Stay within your level of fitness. He also said, forget about trying to bulk up. Let the weight gain come naturally. And here's one interest, and I've never tried this, perhaps you have, but he had a technique where he would stretch a specific body part after every set. He believed in expanding the fascia to allow for greater muscle growth. I don't know of any other bodybuilder anywhere who's promoted this technique, but it evidently worked for him. And I know he has a video out where he still talks about stretching briefly after every set, no matter what it is, biceps, shoulders. He had a stretching technique that he employed. And he said he would take the amino acids throughout the day. He said if you're looking for growth and the pump, and he believed the pump was everything, and I definitely believe that as well. He felt 12 to 15 reps whenever possible. He believed that optimal blood flow is the key to growth as well as definition. And he was very much into meditation and Eastern thought. And he always said that meditation and a calm mind were critically important. You said something earlier about you implied that as well. And I believe the mind-muscle connection that you is what you were experiencing in your training. And I think that's what you've been employing. And I think it works. And more of us should put a focus on that.
I believe in that.
Yes, and you were describing that as far as visualizing what you were doing, what you were about to do, and he believed that as well. And at this point in his life, he feels that heavy weights are counterproductive and not important. He said, "Make lighter weights feel heavy, more effort in less time."
Yes.
And have you experienced that at all?
Yes, a lot. I do every day, twice a day. Just like I do my exercising for my physical body, I also exercise my mind and my imagination. And I think that it adds a lot. The relaxation helps. You know, it gets rid of a lot of, you know, what normally translated into stress. And it's always good to have, you know, you need stress to grow, but it can be debilitating, either physically or, you know, emotionally or mentally. So it controls the amount of stress, and it also conditions your mind, you know, in terms of what it is you're working towards and believing that you can do it.
Well, I know you touched upon that earlier, and I believe that's a powerful factor in our trading life, and a lot of us, me included, don't employ it often enough. I believe you can actually, there have been those who have actually developed a pump just by visualizing their biceps and imagining that they're doing the work. So we know that this mind-body connection that you're describing, we know it's very real. It's very real, just as the placebo effect is very real.
Herbert, placebo effect and very simple meditation, Emile Coué on the auto-suggestion, the Silva method, you know, that's been applied to a lot of different things. They're all very similar, and I find, you know, it's kind of like icing on the cake, you know, by itself it accomplishes a lot, but it's like some of the isotonic systems, it could only take you, you know, biomechanically to a certain point. But visualizing and practicing in your mind does enhance your appearance. And I think I shared with you on one of the other shows, I imagine the Jack Kirby-esque gyms, you know, where I'm going to something Hercules or Thor or one of the Eternals might exercise in. And I find that, again, just imagining it gives me like the feeling of like a pump. And it doesn't take a lot of reps, you know, to do it because you're
we could be sitting while doing it. You're absolutely right. It's a very real phenomenon, and most of us should take it more seriously. And you obviously have integrated it into your life and into your training methods and training life as well. And I think most of us, me included, need to take it more seriously because there is validity there. And, you know, it's just like, you know, there was a time in my life and my Christian pursuits where I wouldn't take any of these faith healers seriously. And most of them are not to be taken seriously, quite frankly. We know there's some dubious characters in that area. And I always wondered, well, why aren't there more healings? You know, I do believe that the healings that Christ performed and all, I believe that that force is in us today. I do believe we have it. I think we're equipped with it. The placebo effect proves that.
Yes.
But I always wondered, well, why doesn't it work for more people? Then I realized, you know what, maybe I'm missing the boat here. Maybe I'm missing the point. It's like being a baseball or football player. The field is open to us, but not all of us can be guaranteed success. And it doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean we're doing something terrible to ourselves. It just means some of us have more focus, vision, and dedication than others. And those are the ones that will experience true spiritual healing. And some of us may fall by the wayside, but that's what life is all about. So I've changed my opinion a bit on that. I believe true faith healing does exist, can exist, will continue to exist, but it depends on the player.
Yes, that's very true, and sometimes it's a matter of like reconceiving what the goal actually is. Like once you see the fitness as a journey, and as a lifelong activity that enhances your life and is satisfying in and of itself, even though you still use different markers like the tape measure or the scale or the calipers or whatever you're going to use to measure your progress. A lot of the stuff you beat yourself up about, you know, because you're not measuring up to, you know, other people disappears because you're not doing this for other people. You're doing it for yourself.
Absolutely.
And so you get rid of a lot of unnecessary turmoil. once you just accept it, that it's something that enhances your life. It's like we all have interests, and you and I have very eclectic and fringe interests that many people don't share.
That's right.
I learned a long time ago that even if you're the only person who understands it and enjoys it, enjoy it. Life is short. You found something you really like. Yeah, enjoy it, you know. That's good enough as it is. You know, your family, your friends, you know, they don't have to like the same type of movies you like. They don't have to like the same type of books that you like. They don't have to like the same type of activities that you like. As long as it enhances your life and doesn't harm anybody, then you found your holy grail. So there's nothing bad about that at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're pursuing and you have found your golden fleece at that point. If
right.
It provides the kingship and the vitality that you've been seeking.
Very, very true. I posted your Dark Cobra Holistic Training Systems card. I cropped it a little bit and took the background off, and I put it up as coming soon, just so you know.
I thank you so much, and it's a part of my ministry, and it is a ministry, and I'm hoping
yeah.
to have some hard copy material that I'm going to be giving away. It's something I've been wanting to do, and I really thank you for that. I'm not very well-versed in a lot of these things when it comes to the Internet or the computer, and I did need a little help, and so I thank you for that. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, and I'm greatly honored. I'm honored that our paths have crossed, that we're doing this together. You're an awesome individual and a great friend. So, I'm very grateful that we're on this journey together.
Well, you've opened up the channels where those of us who believe in what we in our own pursuits can share our experience with others, and hopefully, and I know this to be true, we're uplifting the lives of others. And these fringe activities that have been calling to us are not so fringe anymore. They're starting to people are starting to realize the value of weight training, as you know, and even in other areas like UFOs. And finally, it's taken a long time, but our government is taking them more seriously while admitting that they don't know what they are at the end of the day. They do exist, but according to the our latest government statements, but they have no idea what they are. I don't know if you call that progress, but after 40 years of trying, many UFO we're finally getting there.
Yeah, that's very, very true. But it is something, and it is a start. And even though we all knew it, at least our government is confirming that there are some things they don't know what they are, and they can't explain them using conventional methods.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to share very briefly for a few minutes some of the names. Some of the names, we all know some of the great peplum film stars, and I've just named some, the ones that have lifted my life from the darkness, to be sure. I wanted to mention briefly the Golden Age bodybuilders who paralleled that era of the 60s. And a lot of them are not, I feel, should be talked about more. We all know about Arnold. We all know about Stallone, those who have grown up in the 80s and whatever. But there's some great names in the field, and I'd just like to mention briefly so some researchers and those in the fitness community may want to do their own research in some of these great pioneers during that time. Larry Scott, as we know, was the first two-time Mr. Olympia. Sergio Oliva, who was also known as the Myth, he was a three-time Mr. Olympia from Cuba. He came afterwards. We've just discussed Frank Zane, the three-time Mr. Olympia, who was known for his symmetry and his proportion. And he came in an era where size was the order of the day. And to win the Olympia three times was magnificent. Rick Wayne was from the islands. He had great muscular density. He was Mr. Universe, Mr. Europe, Mr. World, and he was a superb bodybuilding author. He wrote for Joe Weider's Muscle Builder for a number of years. One of my all-time favorites was Serge Noubre, Mr. Universe, Mr. Europe, from France. He placed third in the Miss Olympia, and he was known as the Black Panther. I truly felt that he came in second in the 1975 Mr. Olympia, and I firmly believe he should have won that contest. Which unfortunately came in second to Arnold. Lou Ferrigno was third. And I firmly believe that bodybuilding politics were not on his side. But Sergio Bray had tremendous, I used to call it racehorse lines. For a big man, he had incredible lines and just an incredible athlete. One of my all-time favorites was Harold Poole. Mr. America, Mr. Universe, placed second three times in the Mr. Olympia. Unfortunately, he came in second by just a point in beating Sergio Oliva in his third Olympia appearance. He was known for his incredible muscularity. If you look at him today, even by today's standards, his most muscular pose was definitely singularly identifiable. Chuck Sipes was a Mr. America, Mr. Olympia, known for his rugged physique. Mike Dayton, and I think I sent you his course, he was a Kung Fu master and 1976 Mr. Olympia. He was also known for his feats of strength. I saw him break handcuffs on the Merv Griffin show, and believe me, he was the real deal. And finally, and we just lost him a couple of weeks last week, Dave Draper, Mr. New Jersey, Mr. America, known worldwide as the Blonde Bomber. He just passed away. I believe it was last week. Film actor and one of the great prolific writers. I think I may have sent you one of his books. Don't know if I did. It's called Brother Iron, Sister Steel.
Early on, yes.
Yeah, a magnificent, magnificent bodybuilding author. We lost a great one here, the Blonde Bomber, Dave Draper, from that era. So while the young people today and know about the 80s, they know about the late 70s, I wanted to mention these names because these were the guys that pioneered the sport during the decade of the 60s.
Brian Walker is doing a tribute to Dave Draper on tomorrow's Sword and Sandal show.
Oh, well, I'll have to make sure I'm listening for that. And I'm very sad that we lost him. One of the great ones. There'll never be another Blonde Bomber. Yes. I'll be listening for that. Thank you for mentioning that.
And he had an interesting lifestyle and a way of relating to bodybuilding. I remember reading in the book that you had sent me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. And he was a very talented guy. He used to build his own furniture for other bodybuilders. He said, out of these heavy pieces of wood. I don't know how he did it. And he was very talented in many different areas. I don't think I've ever read. Ricky Wayne was a great bodybuilding author as well. Very articulate, probably the best. Very motivating, very motivating. I don't care what kind of day you were having. After you read a few lines of his work, you wanted to get up and head for the gym. That's the kind of author he was.
I love those authors where you're motivated to just apply what they're teaching you.
Exactly. So I'll be listening tomorrow, and I didn't know that. And I thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, you just posted it, I believe, before we started tonight's show. You posted it. Tomorrow is going to be about Dave Draper.
Well, I'm excited about that. I was one of his fans. It was a great time. Great time in bodybuilding. And as I said, the birth of bodybuilding during the 60s paralleled the Sword and Sandal films. They were both growing during that decade. It was an exciting time.
And it's still an exciting time. As you mentioned before, an often troubling and confused and scary time, but it is an exciting time.
For those of us that are involved and seeking the meaning of the myths and the classical physique and turning other people on to what it means and why it's worthwhile pursuing it. I think we're still like little children in many ways. I don't think we'll ever get over that enthusiasm.
No, I don't think we'll ever get past the enthusiasm, and that's a good thing. And in a way, we're flame keepers of these ancient traditions and their modern counterparts as well. We're part of what keeps them alive and vital and flowing around in the consciousness of people of today. And if your heroes are still living, invite them to be on the show. Let them know how much they meant to you. Or they mean to you. I know that I've always found it to be a powerful experience. I've gotten to say thank you to many people who inspired me, And it's a very liberating and empowering experience, and the individual knows that they contributed something valuable to your life as well.
Absolutely. Well, I am in touch with periodically with Mike Dayton, and I can get him to be honest. He was a great gentleman and a very unique bodybuilder because he was trained in the Eastern arts as well. Kung Fu, he studied Chi and Ki, as you know. His course is fabulous. And his teachings are very articulate and just life-changing as well. And perhaps we can get him on at some point.
That would be great. And you can interview him, and I'll open and close the show. And have fun, and we'll all learn from it.
Absolutely, absolutely. He was the real thing. He was the real thing. He was a remarkable guy. And most of it, while he had a good physique and he trained built a quality physique, I believe most of it was mind power, as you mentioned earlier. Because I know there were many who attempted to break handcuffs, and I've seen this, and it failed. But he did it. He was the real article. He was the real deal.
And we need more of that in our world today. We're approaching the end of our conversation for today. Are there any thoughts you'd like to leave people with? And please share your contact information.
Well, I have a prayer ministry, and I'd like anyone who wants prayer. I believe in focused prayer. I believe in putting their names in white light. I believe in the white light aspect of prayer. And my prayer list is growing all the time. They can write me with any specific prayers to Michael Del Rossi, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And, of course, I have my Creative Health Manual, which I think provides a superb background for natural medicine. I read the diets I recommend as well as supplements. I talk about dealing with the sugar diseases. That is only $3 a copy. And they can write a check or money order if they like to Michael Del Rossi, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And I'll get that right out along with some other goodies that they may enjoy in the area of health and nutrition.
Thank you again so very much, Michael. As always, I enjoy our conversations and I learn a lot from them. As you know, if you've checked the Mythic Physique group, I'm in the process of reexamining everything again, just assuming that everything I've learned needs to be expanded. So I've been looking at a vitamin at a time. And if I encounter a concern, either cutting back on the dosage or whatnot, I'm always fine tuning. And I'm honored that you're in that group as well. And that you so generously share your journey through your ministry and also through this podcast.
I've been looking at your diet, your dietary changes, and sharing your evolution. This is all about, you've opened up the channels to all of us. This is what we do. This is what you do. And we're not afraid to make changes and share them with our listeners and the fellow Olympians. So I thank you for doing that. You can't put a value. There's not enough you can say about the channels that you've opened for all of us.
Well, thank you for your kind words. And again, I'm honored that we're on this adventure together. And I want to thank everybody who listened today or who will be listening later on when we're on demand. Until next time, this is us. Joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And in the few seconds that we have left, we'll close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
She stood with the stars in her eyes and the tree. The wise time stood still, and the spirits heard her sigh, and they danced to the music of her cries. Lady of Moonlight, Lady of Day.